give an account of thy stewardship, that thou mayest be no longer steward. And the steward said within himself, what shall I do? For my Lord taketh away from me the stewardship. I cannot dig to beg, I am ashamed. I am resolved what to do, that when I am put out of the stewardship, they may receive me into their houses. So he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou my Lord? And he said, 100 measures of oil. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and sit down quickly and write 50. Then said he to another, and how much owest thou? And he said, 100 measures of wheat. And he said unto him, take thy bill, and write 80. And the Lord commended the unjust steward, because he had done wisely. For the children of this world are in their generation wiser than the children of light. And I say unto you, make to yourselves friends of the mammon of unrighteousness, that when ye fail, they may receive you into everlasting habitation. He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much. And he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much. If therefore ye have not been faithful in the unrighteous mammon, who will commit to your trust the true riches? If you have not been faithful in that which is another man's, who shall give you that which is your own? No servant can serve two masters, for either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will hold to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon. In verse 5 of this passage, he says, so he called every one of his Lord's debtors unto him, and said unto the first, how much owest thou unto my Lord? You know the story. The man was a keeper of another man's things, but he wasn't doing his job. And the owner heard about it. And he went to see him. And when he heard he was coming to see him, he thought, well, I'm fixing to lose my job. So I'm going to go to all these people that owe my master, and I'm going to make some deals, some good deals with them, so that when I lose my job, they'll take me in. That's the mammon. That's the things of this world, the people of this world. And so he sat down. He said, how much do you owe? He said, well, I owe this much. He said, well, write me half of that. How much you owe? Write me half of that. And so when he got through, the master showed up, and he said, and I imagine he looked at all that was owed, and he thought, well, I went so long without what was owed to me, half is better than nothing. So he commended the man, and he promoted the man, because the man had become faithful in what he was supposed to do. And Jesus used that for an example, and he said that we owe some people. We owe some people. I owe some people. And I'm not talking about the bank, and I'm not talking, though you probably owe them too, and I'm not talking about a car payment. We owe our lives. We are in debt to a lot of people. Everybody in this room, you're in debt. You owe people. And most people in the generation that we live in, they think very little of debt. They think very little of that. I used to think, you know, we heard that term, as you get older, you get debt free. You know, you get your house paid off and all that stuff. You get, you think, well, that'll be a wonderful feeling. Well, it is. And as you get older, if you live long enough and you're wise enough, you'll be debt free. But really, spiritually speaking, we are never debt free. And if you'll think about it, young people, old people, in between people, we have a debt to a lot of people that we could never repay. I thought about that. We owe our parents. We owe our parents. You say, well, my mom and dad wasn't any good, but you're here. You're alive. They let you live. And we owe our parents. Now, I never knew my father, don't know his name, but my mother, my mama, she took care of me. She worked. And she worked in the cotton mill and fed me and clothed me and gave me a place to live. And to the best of her ability, she took care of me. Now, it might not be the way I would do it. But it's the only way she could do it. And she took care of me. And I owe her. And three times I've been before doctors. And she's 97 years old. And three times I've been before doctors said, let's just quit feeding her and let her die. I said, we're not going to do that. No, sir. I owe my mama. I owe her to be there and to take care of her and keep her going as long as I can keep her going. And I owe my mama. She did that for me. She fed me when I wasn't even worth feeding. She clothed me when I wasn't worth clothing. Amen. She loved me when I was unlovable. You owe your parents. I don't care who they are. You owe them. Number two, we owe our teachers. My wife's a teacher. My daughter's a teacher. Teacher of the year in her school district. Right there she is right there. My wife's been a school teacher for 20-something years. Let me tell you something. I have two other daughters that teach. Let me tell you something. We owe teachers. The reason you could read your Bible just then is because somebody taught you how to read. And listen, it wasn't those boys down on the end of the block. It was a school teacher taught you how to read that. And by the way, now that you look back on it, don't you think it was the grace of God they even let you stay in the room? Amen. Many a time they should have just kicked us out, and they endured with us and they put up with us. And don't let me hear you talk bad about public school teachers. No, I don't care who you are. I've had preachers come in here and preach, not in here, but other churches, and preach for me, and they get up and deride public school teachers and all this. Yeah, there's some bad ones, they are, but there's some Baptist church members that's bad too. Let me tell you something. These teachers, they're a light in the world. If it wasn't for them, what kind of country would we have? I thank God that teachers, I owe teachers. I'll never be able to pay. I wish I could go back and thank every teacher I ever had, but they're all gone by now. Amen? And did you know that we owe our church? If you've got a church that believes the Bible, loves Jesus, loves sinners, trying to do right in a dark world, you owe your church. You ought to thank God you've got a church. Most churches have turned into entertainment centers. That's all they are, just entertainment centers. They're having a good time, but they ain't doing nothing for God. Nobody's learning anything about the Lord or growing in grace and knowledge. You'll thank God for this church right here. You young people, you don't know. Some of you young people, you don't know. You've never been in a bad church. Boy, it'll break your heart. Hey, you'll go home at night wishing, I wish I'd went to some church somewhere else today, but I couldn't. You'll thank God. We owe our church. Amen. We owe it to be here. We owe it to show up. We owe it to participate. We owe it to give. We owe it to be a part of this body of Christ right here. This is where God put us, and we'll thank God for it. We owe, this is the place that will save our children, our grandchildren, the husbands and the wives. This is the place, that little place that you can escape, some of you, from hell on earth. You'll thank God for your church. You owe your church. You owe the people in your church. Did you know we owe our employers? I'll be honest with you. You wouldn't even work for you sometime. You wouldn't pay you. You wouldn't pay you. You'd fire you. And they put up with you anyway, and they give you a check every week. You'll thank God you've got a job. Amen. These people at McDonald's going to work wanting $15 an hour. They'll thank God they're making $5 an hour. Amen? Yeah. Amen. Brother, they ain't never been poor like some of us. They thank God. They've got the government, everybody else keeping them up. Let me tell you something. Some of us, we had jobs that were hard and tough, and we didn't always like it. Sometimes we hated the job, but we endured, and we thank God we had a job so we could pay for the house and buy a car and feed your children. You owe your employer. This man right here, he'd become lazy. His employer said, I'm going to go straighten this out. And he got down there, and by the time he got there, it was already straightened out. And sometimes some of you Baptist church members ought to wake up and say, God, put me where I'm working. I don't like my boss man. I may not even like what I do, but God gave me this job, and thank God for my employer. He'll let me stay here and pay me. It got quiet on that one. Amen. I hit a nerve. Hey, we owe our spouse. Wouldn't nobody else marry you? Nobody else live with us. Amen. Who would live with us? Well, thank God. Me and you, Billy, we ought to be praising God, jumping pews right now. Woo! She lived with me. She puts up with me. Amen? Amen. You snore. Your feet stink. Your hair falling out. Your teeth falling out. She stays with you anyway. Amen? Hey, you owe your spouse. Some of you ladies, you owe. Hey, you owe that husband. Y'all ladies ain't angels all the time either, you know. Amen. You're just sinners too, just like the rest of us. Well, hey, we owe our spouse for sticking with us. Hey, we owe our country. We owe this country. Now, I'm a Baptist preacher. I've been saved since 1978. Before I got saved, I would not have went in. Well, I'd have went if they drafted me, but they'd have kicked me out because I was so rebellious. But I'm a Baptist preacher now. If they call me tomorrow, I'd join. I'd carry a gun. I'd go wherever they sent me because I owe this country. Hey, this country let me raise my children in. This country has blessed me and my family. This country, we owe this country. Don't tell me you love this country and you don't go vote at elections. You're lying. Amen. You lazy countrymen. Look, we owe this country. And we owe it to do our best too, buddy. Amen? Amen. This country doesn't owe me anything. They don't have to supply me with housing. They don't have to supply me with food or anything else. I owe this country. They don't owe me. I have the privilege of living in the greatest country on God's green earth. I have that privilege. And all to thank God for it. You owe this country. Everybody in here, you ought to pay your taxes. You're a crook if you don't. You ought to vote. You ought to participate. You ought to pray for your country. If there's any way you can serve it, you ought to serve it. Amen? And then, listen, but you know the most important debt I owe is to the Lord Jesus Christ. March the 5th, 1978, about 12:15, he reached down and grabbed a little old sinner boy, 23 years old, and snatched him up out of the depths of going to hell. And he set my foot on the solid rock. He established my going forth. He lifted me out of miry clay. He gave me a new mind, a new heart, and a new spirit. All in one day he did that. Changed my life. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he's a new creature, 2 Corinthians 5:17. I went home a different person, and he did that. I didn't do that. I'd say, preacher, come see me. I'd say, pastor, when I quit lying, cussing, stealing, or drinking, or whatever it is we do, I'll straighten up and come join your church. He said, you'll die and go to hell. He said, a lot of good people don't do that, and they still die and go to hell because of, you must be born again. And I thank God he didn't have to save me. God didn't have to save us. Just think of all the people that have died and went to a devil's hell, and he let you live and hear the gospel and receive the gospel and be born again. Think about that. We owe him. I don't take that lightly. I've not taken that lightly since the day I accepted him. I'm not. Look at me, I'm preaching. I've not taken that lightly since the day that he saved me. I owe him. And there's been times that I didn't pay him like I ought to. And he put up with me anyway. And I owe him a lot. I owe him a debt I can never pay. But I sure do want to help and pay a little bit. Hey, I'd like to give him something. I don't want to show up in heaven with nothing. Amen? Amen. I want to do a little something for him, don't you? Amen. We owe him. He didn't have to save you. He doesn't have to keep you. He doesn't have to take care of you. He does that because he loves you. And I thought about that. Did you know in Matthew 22:37, if you want to turn over there real quick and mark it, Matthew 22:37, look at it with me. Jesus said unto him, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart and with all thy soul and with all thy mind. He said, this is the first and great commandment. Well, preacher, I don't drink liquor. Yeah, but do you love the Lord? Well, preacher, I don't smoke marijuana. Well, yeah, but do you love Jesus? Do you love him with all your heart, all your mind, all your soul? That's the greatest commandment right there. If you can keep that one, the rest of them will fall in line right behind it. We'll love him. We owe him our love. just like I love my mama. I tell you what, I've been by my mama's bedside many times, prayed, God, don't let her die. I love this woman. I got to have her. Don't let her go yet. I'm not ready. And God answered that prayer. Sometimes we need to bow at the feet of Jesus and say, Jesus, I love you with all my heart, and I couldn't live without you. That's our greatest debt right there. You know, brother, this baptism represented the death and the burial and the resurrection of Jesus Christ. But it also represented your death to the old man and burial and resurrection, a new creature in Christ Jesus. Now, it didn't do that. Jesus did that. But it represented that. Now, we owe him. Well, I'll tell you what, there's nothing less attractive than an ungrateful Christian. Luke 9:23, real quick. Y'all not listening fast enough. Luke 9:23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him deny himself, take up his cross daily, and follow me. Daily. That's the key word. Daily. Now, I was born again one time. I was born again one time. But you know what? Daily, I have to die to myself. Daily, I've got to take up that cross and be a Christian. Daily. Some people do it on Sunday. They got Sunday religion. Hey, it ought to be every day. We owe him that. We owe him that. Just like I owe my mama to love her and take care of her and not desert her, every day I owe my mama that. Every day. Every day when you go to work, you owe your boss man while he's paying you. And every day while you're a Christian, you need to be a Christian. You need to live like a Christian. You need to act like a Christian. You need to look like a Christian. You need to talk like a Christian. I know you don't hear this much anymore, but it's still true. That's daily crucifixion. Every day we crucify our old sinful self and we take up that cross of Christ and we walk through this world being recognized and identified by the cross of Jesus Christ. And by the way, it is a cross to carry to be a Christian. Jesus said the whole world will hate you. The whole world will persecute you. And so every day I owe him my time. Every day. You know, every day you'll take a little time to recognize that, read your Bible, and pray. I read the other day that 80% of the Americans, there was a survey done, they never called me, but whoever they did it with. But they did a survey. Oh, they do call me if they want money. They just don't do it. But that survey said only 7% of today's professing Christians have read the Bible all the way through. 7%. And it said only 40% of professing Christians today read at least one verse out of the Bible every day. Only 40%. Now, how can you be a Christian and do that? We owe him our time. If he tithed our time, 10% of time wouldn't be nothing. Well, preacher, I just don't have time to go to church. Well, your time's wrong. You need to reschedule something. Well, preacher, I don't have time to read the Bible. Well, you need to reschedule something. Well, preacher, I don't have time to be a witness. Well, your time's messed up. If I'm supposed to love him all day, every day, then I need to dedicate some time to serving him. You know, about 5 to 10% of the people in church do all the church work. Did you know most of those are women? It's hard to find a real man, Christian. I go see them and I start talking about church and immediately they'll say, well, you need to talk to my wife. My wife handles all that. So we need to change Ephesians 5 that says the wife is the head of the home. He wouldn't tell me bad about television, would he? He said, that's my remote control. My wife don't get to touch it. Amen. Real quick, 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2. We owe some people. We owe our love to the Lord. We owe our time to the Lord. 1 Corinthians chapter 16, verse 2 says, upon the first day of the week, that's today, right? Let every one of you lay by him in store, put it aside, as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. In other words, we owe him some money. Now, I know you don't like to hear that, but the day that we live in, money runs everything. It used to be you could take a chicken down to the church and the poor preacher could have a chicken that day, you know. Used to be you could gather up your corn and stuff and bring, by the way, if you want to bring some chicken, bring it dead. Don't bring me no live chicken. Give that to Rudy. Don't give me no live chicken. But the world operates on money. But there's a lot of people that thinks the church needs no money. They think, well, God operates the church. Did you know that I've never got a check in the mail or an offering plate that said, the Lord Jesus Christ, $100. No, he expects us to support his work, and by faith we do that. Here's what most people do. They'll get their check. They'll pay their house. They'll pay their two or three cars. They'll pay that cable bill. They'll pay that telephone bill. They'll pay that computer stuff. They'll pay for the vacation. They'll pay for this. They'll pay for that. And then when they finally get through, they got about 50 cents left. They say, oh, the Lord must need that. Leftovers. Leftovers. All through the Bible, he wants our first fruits. On the first day of the week, you lay aside that. And I'll tell you this. Now, I've always been a Baptist. I got saved in the Baptist church. I've always been a Baptist. I've never been anything else. But I've never seen a saved, living right, tithing Baptist that needed anything. God takes care of them. Now, you do whatever you want to, but I learned a long time ago that if I'm up front and I owe the Lord and I pay it to him, he'll take care of me. He'll take care of me. And then look in Luke chapter 9, verse 23. Luke chapter 9, verse 23, real quick. And did you know we owe him our love, we owe him our time, we owe him our treasure? Luke chapter 9, verse 23. And he said unto them all, if any man will come after me, let him take up his cross. Let him deny himself, take up his cross, and follow me. Did you know that that taking up cross also means service? It was work. Now, I don't believe you're saved by works. Ephesians 2:8-9 says you're saved by grace through faith, that not of yourselves. It's not of works, lest any man should boast. Nobody's going to end up in heaven saying, I made it on my works. I did good. I did this. I did that. No, sir. It's by the blood of Jesus Christ. Without shedding of blood, there is no remission of sin. You'll get in by him or you won't get in. But taking up that cross is work. And every one of us is called to a work. You're called to a work. You're called to work. Every one of us has a work that God has just for us that nobody else can do. I've had some jobs since I've been in the ministry. I've had jobs I hated. I had one job, I hated it for 6 years. I'd get up every morning, and I wasn't one of those people that said, good morning, Lord. I said, good Lord, this morning. I've got to go to work, and I hate it. They hate me. I hate that job. They're hateful to me. But I kept saying, there's somebody down there that needs the gospel, and God put me in there for a purpose, and there's somebody that needs to get saved. Somebody. And so I finally found him, and I led him and his wife to the Lord. And so the Lord moved me from that hateful warehouse to another hateful warehouse. And I had to find that one. I went to work for Duke Power building the nuclear power plant. That ought to make you want to get saved right there. I helped build the nuclear power plant. And I went to work out there, and I'd never worked construction. It liked to kill me. I was a young man. It liked to kill me. You're talking about blisters. I was operating a Mexican backhoe. Mexican backhoe. It liked to kill me. The summer liked to kill me. And then when the winter came in, the temperature got down into the teens, and I was up inside that building pulling that cable and the wind blowing through there, and I couldn't feel my toes anymore and couldn't feel my hands anymore. Hey, I'm telling you, but the Lord put me there because there was some, this young man named Favorin. He was a, we called him speed freaks. He did, speed drugs. And he'd make fun of me, and those other guys make fun of me. But finally, I'd get him alone, and I'd witness to him. And finally, the boy got saved. Finally, he got saved. Now, God's got a work for everybody to do. And you owe it to Him to do that work wherever you are to the best of your ability. Amen? Matter of fact, the Bible says man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Amen. Man don't work, he shouldn't eat. Boy, that'd put a lot of protesters out of business, wouldn't it? Amen. We owe him our service. We owe him our money. We owe him our time. We owe him our love. And then Romans 12:1, real quick, very familiar passage of Scripture. Most of you already know it. The Apostle Paul, inspired by the Holy Spirit, says, I beseech you therefore, brethren, these are believers, by the mercies of God, that means by how good God's been merciful to you, that ye present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that's through the Word of God, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. We owe Him ourself. It never ceases to amaze me how we think so little of that. People mistreat their bodies. You know why? You know why drugs is taking illegal drugs or abusing prescription drugs is a sin? Because you're His. Your body's His temple. And you're destroying His temple. That doesn't belong to you anymore. It's His. And we have no right to do that. And all the other sins that we could name today, we have no right to do that. Because this body belongs to Him. Amen. And He said, I'm begging you, believers, I'm begging you, present your body a living sacrifice. Now, what's involved in a sacrifice? You've got to kill it. The lamb was killed. The heifer was killed. The goat, the ram, all those things were killed. And they were offered on the altar as a sacrifice. So we have to crucify ourselves and what we want and our desires and all the things that we think that we'll get out of life. We lay our body on the altar and we say, Lord, I'm not much, but here it is. Take it. Use it however you can. Now, we owe Him that. I've had people tell me, well, Pastor, you Baptists can't have no fun at all. Y'all can't drink. You can't do drugs. You can't go to parties. You can't do this. You can't. They give me a long list of these things we can't do. But what I want to say is, let me tell you what I can do. I can live for Him, I can love Him, I can serve Him, and I can be happy in doing it because I used to be on your side, and the way of the transgressor is hard. But it's easy on this side because I've got a helper, I've got a comforter, I've got to go alongside me, Lord, that'll take care of me and go with me through the valley of the shadow of death and go with me down there to the funeral home and down to the cemetery and go with me through that trial and that tribulation. And listen, when I start thinking about that, I'm a whole lot happier than I ever was out there in that world. But we've got to crucify ourselves every day. Isn't it funny how we like to tell other people how to crucify themselves? Listen to me, girls, I'm preaching. Isn't it funny how we like to tell other people how to be Christians, and yet we don't crucify ourselves? You know, if I gave you some advice, most of the time that advice, you're not going to listen to it anyway. You'd probably turn around and look at me and say, well, I can give you some advice too. Because I can't crucify you. I have to crucify me. You know that old song, it's not my brother, it's not my sister that stands in need of prayer. It's me, O Lord, standing in need of prayer. I owe him more than I'll ever pay. I owe my mother, I owe my teachers, I owe my church, I owe my employer, I owe my spouse, I owe my country, but most of all, I owe the Lord Jesus Christ. I didn't know how to be a Christian when I first got saved. I didn't even know what a Christian was. I'd never known any real Christians. I'd known church members. I'd known people that said they were Christians, but I'd never known any practicing Christian before I was saved, other than the ones that came to witness to me. I didn't grow up with any. I didn't know how to be a Christian. You know what I did when I got saved? It wasn't long after that we began to go to church. We learned they had church 3 times a week, so we started going 3 times a week. We learned they had revival, so we go to revival. We learned they had vacation Bible school, so we go to vacation Bible school. We learned they had Sunday school, so we went to Sunday school. We never questioned it. We never criticized it. That's what you're supposed to do. You're a Christian. We quit going places we shouldn't go. We didn't question it. We just quit doing it. You know, we never got up at my house right after I got saved and had a discussion, are we going to church today? I heard my daughter ask her. We just got up and went to church. There never was a discussion, a fuss. Nobody ever said, I ain't going to church today. I don't feel like it. We just got up and went. Because we owe him. And I didn't know how to be a Christian. You know what I did? I was just crazy. I just laid it all on the altar. I didn't know that people didn't do that. When I surrendered to preach, I heard preachers say they went to Bible college, they quit their job and went. I didn't know you wasn't supposed to do that, so I just did it. I'm sure my wife almost had a nervous breakdown many a times. And I'd see something that I felt like God wanted me to do. I never thought about it much. I'd just go do it. And I know that's crazy to most people, but that's just the way I felt. And I don't think it would hurt a lot of people to feel like that. Because we owe him. We owe him. We owe a lot of people, and we can pay them, but we owe him a debt that we'll never repay. The old song leader said, are you listening to me? The old song leader said, nobody ever loved me like Jesus. My wife loves me. She has to put up with me. My children love me. They have to put up with me. But nobody's ever loved me like him. Nobody's ever died for you. Nobody's ever lived a sinless life so they could die in your place. You're a sinner. One last verse. Turn with me to Luke 6:46. And why call ye me Lord, Lord, and do not the things which I say? Jesus said, why you want to call me Lord and you don't do what I say? You know the most disrespectful thing you'll ever do to your parents? Say yes, Mom, and then don't do it. Say I will, Daddy, and then don't do it. That's the most disrespectful thing you'll ever do. You know the least loving thing you'll ever show to the Lord is when you call him Lord and then you live like he's not Lord. You talk like he's not Lord. You act like he's not your Lord. And you say, well, I don't want to offend anybody. Well, you're offending him. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You're letting him down. Lord, give me my food. Give me my clothes. Give me my house. Give me what I need. And then you go out there in the world and you never talk about him. And you live like everybody else. And you look like everybody else. You behave like everybody else. And you're denying him. When you do that, we owe him. We owe him. You know, even though I can never repay him, I sure want to try. You know, my mama never saw me smoke a cigarette. I mean, she saw me smoke a cigarette, but very seldom did I ever smoke in front of her. I never drank in front of her. I never cussed in front of her. I remember the first time I did drink, and I crawled up the steps. And I thought to myself, if my mama sees this, it'll break her heart. She was married to a drunkard. She had drunkards all in the family. And now I'm the one she bragged on, and I'm the one that she said was going to be somebody. And look at me. You know what I did, Brother Billy? I stood up and I straightened up. And I opened that door and I walked in that house, and my mama never knew it. And after I got saved, you know what she told me? She said, I never knew you drank. I never knew you did all those things. Because I loved her so much, I didn't want to break her heart. You know, I love Jesus so much. And when I fall down, it breaks my heart. Because He is my Lord. And I do want to serve Him. And when I get to heaven, I'm not much of a Christian. I'm not even the best Christian in this room. But I do want to hear, enter thou into the joys of the Lord, my good and faithful servant. How about you? You say, preacher, it don't bother me. Maybe you just don't know Him. Because to know Him will change your life. Let's stand. Father, help us today in the invitation.